Hi, I'm Govind Jayaraman, and this is Paper Napkin Wisdom. On today's episode, we have Aaron Weed. Aaron is an award-winning speaker, author, media personality, and social entrepreneur. Since 2001, she's been all over the place. CNN, Fox News, The New York Times, and The Washington Post, and now, Paper Napkin Wisdom. I think that you're going to love my conversation with Aaron, and she has a very simple philosophy that she shares with us.
Aaron, welcome to Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me.
So you have an interesting paper napkin, which, if you don't mind, I'll ask you to read out loud for everyone listening.
You bet. So mine says, speak your truth, change the world.
Okay, so why did you share that with me?
Well, it's something that I've seen to be a really impactful and powerful way to live and definitely a way to communicate. In my business called Evoso, we're really all about developing people's speeches that really connect with audiences on a whole different level than just, you know, looking like the perfect speaker on stage and not messing up a word. It's actually quite the contrary. It's this idea of authenticity when we are on stage or when we're communicating with people and how much that really empowers people to be authentically themselves as well. And that's what I feel like is going to move the world forward.
And it's a powerful message. And, you know, it's something that I had to learn. Was this something that you just always knew that this was going to be something you needed to do and this is the message you're going to share, or is this something that you discovered over time?
For me, I don't think I had much of a choice. When I was 22, one of my best friends was murdered on a college campus. And as a result of that violent act, I decided to kind of scrap my plans working in television production. At the time, I was working at the History Channel as producer. And I decided to just learn all I could about self-defense and personal safety, just because, frankly, I was afraid. And the more I learned, the more I realized, you know, and I want to teach this to other young women, because we had never gotten the information in a really powerful way before, other than like a campus cop. It's like, ladies, don't walk alone at night, you know, and it's like, whatever, like no girls are going to take that. So I started putting together a seminar to start taking on the road as a very young woman to really go to colleges and high schools and teach young women about personal safety and self-defense, but in a way that empowered them instead of scared them. And so I really had no choice but to speak my truth in that case, because they had to know where I was coming from. They had to know that one of my best friends was murdered. And you know what? I don't like walking through the world not feeling safe, because when you don't feel fundamentally safe, you can't live the best life that you're supposed to lead. And so and also speaking to that audience, that age group, I mean, you can't pull anything over those people. You don't have a choice. You have to speak your truth. And and when you do, though, it gives other people permission to speak their truth. And that creates a ripple effect. And that's when we are starting to live in an authentic world. And that's just an exciting idea.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, many times we think that we need to say the right thing in order to conjure the response. And it's a conjure. We want to put all these ingredients into a cauldron and mix them around, and we're going to create the right response in a crowd or an audience or our team. If we're an entrepreneur, we're thinking about our teams outside. You're just saying that it comes from being authentic. And that's vulnerable, right? Being vulnerable, being open.
Yeah, totally. And there's a lot of buzz talking about vulnerability. I think people don't really know how. I think people are a little bit afraid. So if instead of saying, hey, be vulnerable, put yourself out there, instead of saying that, why don't we just say, just be who you are and let the chips fall where they may?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, getting comfortable in your own sin. I mean, when you're talking about that, we all wear these masks, you know, and we have these roles to play, and we say, oh, it's especially in business, we'll say this often, oh, it's not personal, it's just business. So there are all these cliches designed to put up these walls between ourselves, between who we really are and what's going on around us. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the ways that you've learned to get through that and become more authentic right away, or help other people become authentic?
Well, you know, what we do at Evoso largely is we help people develop these speeches, right? So a lot of times people, when they get a TEDx talk, they come to us and they hire us. And one of my favorite clients is named Ash Beckham. And she hired us. She's an entrepreneur. She owns a company that produces softball tournaments in the Midwest. So, I mean, by no means like a known entity, but she came to us and she was like, I want to give a speech about how to come out of the closet. And she's a lesbian woman. She's been living with this for her entire life. And she wanted to share her experience. And so one of the things that we figured out, our process that we do at Uvosa is called dig, plant, grow. So before we write the speech, first we really do a dig on what's the person's story and what's their truth. And then we write the speech and then we figure out how to grow it into a platform to communicate with more people. But during Ash's dig, one of the things that we found was that there were so many stories for herself that were very powerful, but that really, it's not about her coming out of her gay closet. It's about everybody having a closet. And all a closet is a hard conversation. And so as we wrote her speech, and we found not just the personal truth in her story, but we found the universal truth in others' experience, that turned out to be a speech that went crazy viral. Now she has almost 5 million views on YouTube. And it's just to answer your question, it's just like, how do you be authentic? Well, I think first we all need to start by just simply accepting that we all have a closet, and all a closet is a hard conversation. And usually that conversation is all about us being afraid to be who we really are because we don't want to freak people out. So if we acknowledge that we're just sitting in a closet, okay, sit with it for a while, maybe enjoy your closet. Maybe that's where you want to be consciously. That's okay. But then when we decide to take the proactive steps of stepping out of the closet, what needs to happen? And usually it's a conversation. So what would the world be like if every single person who had a hard conversation they need to have had it?
Yeah, it'd be incredible. We'd actually get a lot of stuff done fast, right?
Exactly. And it would be so freeing, and it would be such a more enjoyable way to live. So sometimes we talk about living authentically or being vulnerable. I mean, these are huge ideas, but what if instead we just set for ourselves that one tiny thing of, hey, you know what? This year, I'm going to have a hard conversation.
Yeah.
Not even today, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about that hard conversation. The hard conversation isn't being cruel to someone else. It's about yourself, right?
Exactly. And you know what? Sometimes other people get hurt in our hard conversations because we are not living up to what their idea is of the life we're supposed to lead. But the reality is we're not ever supposed to lead the life that others want us to lead. But we get caught in that trap in the society, in so many societies. And so we have to move through the fear of hurting people and start embracing the idea that we need to honor ourselves. And that if we do that, everything else will fall in place.
Yeah, and does it get easier once you tear off the Band-Aid the first time and have that first hard conversation? I mean, does it ever get easier? One of the things that I like to say is that courage shows up when we show up. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've discovered going through battling some of my own fears with just the Paper Napkin Wisdom Project. And we talked about that a little bit before this conversation. So, you know, does it ever get easier, Aaron? Like, I mean, I'm looking for this light that it's going to make it easy one day to always be in this place.
Yeah. Well, I think after you start having the harder conversations, then you start to see the payoff. And that kind of really induces the idea that, hey, there's a reward on the other side of being authentic. Like, to give you an example, right now I'm going through a divorce. And so this has been the pinnacle of hard conversations almost on a daily basis. And what I'm learning from it, though, is that there is so much freedom in the hard conversation. And there's so much fear before it, but there's so much freedom on the other side. And Ash taught me that, because her word from her dig, when we go through the dig process, we actually have the person nail down their whole life purpose into one word. And then they write a manifesto about it to bring that epic clarity about who they are and what they're here to do. And Ash's word was freedom. And she was so right. And in that speech, she never said the word freedom. But that's the feeling on the other side of being who we are, because a closet is no place for a person to live.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's powerful. And when I think about that, I think about, you know, fear being prison and faith being freedom, and faith in people and faith in yourself. You know, and it's really the belief in ourselves that stops us from doing this, right? We stop believing in our ability to be able to withstand what happens on the other side of that closet door, perhaps, right? But if we have faith in the fact that first step is going to set us free, that's it's a pretty powerful image, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this in terms of, you know, change the world. You talked about vulnerability being a big, difficult thing to get, but change the world's no small dream.
Yeah, true. But I think we all can. I think we all do every day, whether it's for positive or negative impact. I do think that when we are ourselves, we make the world a better place. And this is not a popular idea. It's just not. Or it might sound popular to hear, but it's not popular to implement.
No, and I mean, it's hard, right?
It's very difficult, because here's one of the big enemies that I see in our society around this idea is that people say, oh, well, if you honor yourself and you put yourself first and you be authentic, and usually authentic is chasing what you want, oh, well, now you're selfish. Okay, this whole idea gets me all fired up, Gilden, because we need to be more selfish. We need, as a culture, to be more selfish. And it's this selflessness that's turning into resentment. It's turning into paralysis. It's turning into non-contribution, because we're not living the lives that we are authentically supposed to live. And yeah. No one's winning here. No one.
Yeah. So, and again, we're not talking about greedy. You're talking about selfish and taking care of yourself.
Yes. Yes. Like, the reality is that all of us are in a body. Our own body. We can't live anybody else's life. This is the only life I can live. So I need to honor this life. And the thing is, we're not honoring our lives in so many ways. We are not choosing the work professions that we should really be working in. We are not pursuing the dreams that are the most important to us. We're shelving things the minute we have children. Or, you know, it's just, and it's not to say that children aren't important or family aren't important or that you don't make sacrifices sometimes, you don't compromise. Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. But if we build the lives that truly honor ourself and what we're supposed to be doing in this lifetime, then everything else is going to fall into place.
Yeah. I mean, to thine own self be true, right? I mean, you have to recognize yourself if you're really, truly going to recognize anyone else. Because if we're not being ourselves, especially in leadership, when we influence so many people with every step we make, I mean, it's very true for everyone, as you said. We all have that responsibility, but especially as, you know, when we're talking about the audience of leaders, entrepreneurs, and difference makers, these are people who influence a lot of people. We have even more of a wake behind us. We need to be mindful of looking at things authentically and being ourselves.
Yep, absolutely.
So how do we help, as leaders, our team do the same thing?
I think the number one way is to lead by example. And yeah. There are too many leaders out there that aren't really walking their talk. And so you have all the people that are watching these, I call them light workers, these people that are these public people that are trying to move consciousness in the world. But if they are not living their truth, then they're just setting out an energy of just it not being authentic. And so what you're probably going to get a lot is people that are really great on stage or in the boardroom or wherever they're a rock star, and people aren't following suit, and there just feels like there's something missing. Now, in those cases where you have a leader that really steps up and shares something that's real, or really gets vulnerable, or has a moment in front of their team in a meeting, it's all of a sudden connection is fostered, and then all of a sudden those people want to match. As human beings, we all want to match each other. Mm-hmm. Like when you go to a party, like a cocktail party, and you notice like the energy kind of naturally matches. It's just what we do as human beings. So it, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, this stuff a lot of times comes from the top.
Yeah. And I think that's a great opportunity, right? I mean, I think you said fortunately or unfortunately. Fortunately, we have the ability to shift that. Now, here's the really hard question, though. I mean, can we change? Can we shift that if we have been living behind a cloak and in the closet, as you've talked about? Can we open the door and walk out? Like, can that happen today? Can I snap my fingers like that and change it?
You can change you.
Yeah.
I think we need to maybe let go of some of our expectation energy around what other people can or will do and just focus on ourselves.
Yeah.
Just have faith that they're going to match at some point, or they're not. And then what's going to happen is that you're not going to match your team anymore. And then there's just going to be a natural divergence at that point.
And either way, it's okay, right? Either way.
Yeah.
Because if we're operating from our own truth, part of that changing the world is maybe changing our environment, changing the dynamic of our team. And that's okay.
Clients are in some way, shape, or form founders. And so I deal with people all the time that feel very entrapped or, you know, in entrapment around this thing they've built. A lot of times they're trapped by their own success. You know, and they feel like they can't leave, or even the employee that's been somewhere for 15 years, and they just can't imagine themselves out of it. But in our dig process, what we try to do is get people back to the much bigger picture of why we're here and what you're here to say and do, and get out of just the construct that you've been operating in successfully or unsuccessfully.
Yeah. And I think it's part of that. Yeah. And the definition you said, you know, a construct, it's a construct that we built.
Exactly.
We built it.
We served you at some point, for some reason, at some time. And that is not a permanent thing.
Yeah. And we built it. We can take it down. We can rebuild it. We can change it. We can choose to operate without it if we want to. So, you know, when you see people change, right, when you help people through this process and you see them change, what are the kinds of things you hear back from them about the process? What is the feedback that you get about themselves, you know, the experiences that they're getting? What are the kinds of things you hear?
You know, a lot of people have different kinds of experiences. Some people are I would say the collective response to digs is relief. It is a relief to be seen. It is a relief to be heard. It is a relief to have someone outside of ourselves and our experience really look at the whole picture and reframe it a little bit and bring it into present time. And so there's definitely a lot of relief. There's also a lot of understanding. Like for someone like me, my word is authentic. So it brought actually a lot of validation as I'm going through a lot in my personal life. But it's brought a lot of validation why I've had to make these choices, because my relationship was no longer authentic in what I needed in my life. So if a situation is totally going against the grain of your purpose, then it's not going to work. It's going to implode. Something's going to happen. So it's kind of validating when my clients get to their word. And I mean, the kind of words that people choose are things like resolve and courage and flow and worth. And so, I mean, everybody's different, yet there's also just like this much bigger thing over all of them. I mean, we're all here to be on some kind of path. And just the honoring of that path is just kind of a universal truth that everyone needs to do.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I think is really great about the process, and we talked about this, that Einstein said to understand something, you need to be able to express it simply. And that's really kind of, for me, the genesis of paper napkin wisdom, that you take these really, you know, you take your very complex journey and I ask you to whittle it down and put it down on a napkin, and it becomes speak your truth, change the world. And you're doing it even further, and you're taking one word and putting it onto a post-it note. That's, like you say, epic clarity around that truth. And that the exercise of doing that as leaders, we don't save that time for ourselves very often. In fact, we do the opposite. We use extra words, right? Yeah. To try and conjure up an emotion in people as opposed to less.
Yeah. I've actually done digs for companies that are trying to rewrite mission statements or about pages and things like that. And they're just like, okay, if we add more senses, maybe this will make more sense. And no, it's probably the opposite. And, you know, one of the reasons I like the one word is because it actually gives us as people or as organizations the room to grow. You know, I can look at authentic today and it can mean something totally different than it will mean to me a week from now and what I need to be in authenticity around. And so it's nice because it doesn't restrict how I can interpret that particular day.
Yeah, and that's powerful because there are seasons to all things, right? There, you know, there are seasons in our work-life balance. There are seasons in our family balance. You talked about that a moment ago. There are always going to be changes. So I think that flexibility. So does that help people get out of their heads to a certain degree as well, understanding what their dig word is, what that epic clarity is around their truth?
It definitely helps. And I'm glad you brought that up, because our heads are awesome, thoughts are amazing. Intellect is fantastic, but the problem is that we're operating from there like 99% of the time. And to truly be authentic, to really bring our full self to this life, we've got to leave room for just the spirit inside of us. We've got to leave room for the emotions that dictate our how we perceive walking through the world. And both just spirit and emotion are not exactly validated, and especially in business culture today. So it's funny when I get clients that have a big speech to give and they're a hotshot CEO, and I'm just like, oh, so tell me about your childhood. And they're like, where am I? Am I in the shrink's office? And I'm like, no, like, this is how people connect. They want to hear your stories. They want to know how you felt about it. They want to, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that you say that, because earlier on I was going to ask you if sometimes do people or do you feel like the bartender or the hairdresser that gets all the secrets, right? I mean, that's the conversation, right? People have those kinds of conversations in those kinds of environments, and it's interesting, right?
Yeah, it is interesting.
So why is it important for leaders, especially? You know, I believe in the flexibility of leadership being a real hallmark of great leadership, that, you know, leaders that are the most flexible and most able to adapt to change are the ones that are able to sustain themselves throughout changing dynamics. And that comes through a connection of your head and your heart. And I think that's what you're talking about here. Have you seen that come out for the people that have done the digs, for the people who have gone through the process, for the people who understand with epiclarity their purpose, that they've been able to withstand challenges and changes?
Yeah. I mean, just recently I did a 3-day workshop for an organization called the Unreasonable Institute. And this institute basically brings social entrepreneurs from all over the world that are starting businesses to solve the biggest social problems. And they bring them to Boulder for about 5 weeks every summer. And they just give them these amazing mentors and funding and all these things because they want their idea to thrive. And so one of my biggest challenges was taking these world leaders, essentially, and really helping them write a speech within 1 week. And then they were going to be giving this speech to like 1,000 or 2,000 people on the Friday. And we started working out on the Monday. And it was pretty phenomenal to take them through 1 day of dig, 1 day of plant, and 1 day of grow, and to watch them not only evolve as presenters and communicators, but really, in many cases, their idea evolved. After we really do the dig and we understand the background, we understand why this thing needs to exist, it's like the understanding around that, the clarity that comes from that, all of a sudden we were starting to see like a lot of offshoot interesting things happening in their business and new partnerships being formed and all this other cool stuff as a result of just writing a speech. But it's so much more than a speech, you know? It's just getting the clarity on what we're here to do. And that's leadership, is being open to what's happened and what could happen, and then bringing them in together to form a possibility and then engage people. So that was just fun. Very, very rewarding experience to watch it happen within such a short time span, you know?
Yeah, no, it sounds powerful. And I want to thank you for doing the paper napkin with me today. Hopefully I can get you to come back again. What do you think?
I'd love to.
That's great. Thanks.
What a powerful conversation with Aaron. Thank you for sharing that with me. And what an incredible journey, going from being a student, starting her first business, really changing the landscape of self-defense and personal safety while empowering women at the same time, and then moving on to speaking your truth and changing the world. So many times we judge people, we compare up to people with a fantastic facade, with a fantastic veneer of success. And we look at the way they're presented and wish we looked just like them. But the reality is, in that there is a truth that is deeper. In many cases, that facade has nothing to do with reality. And they're going through hardship, they're going through struggles just like we are. But on another side, they're real just like we are. So speak your truth. Change the world. I believe that small changes make a big difference, and together we can change the world. This podcast and Paper Napkin Wisdom is part of that, having these simple, small messages that we can share with each other and share wisdom, collective wisdom to grow leadership in our teams, in our companies, in our communities, in our families, everywhere in the world. So I'd love to hear what you think about Aaron Weed, what you think about this paper napkin, and I'd love to hear from you. Please log on to papernapkinwisdom.com, or alternatively, you can follow us along on Twitter at WiseNapkin. Last but not least, don't forget to find us on Facebook, Paper Napkin Wisdom. My name is Govind Jayaraman. This is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thanks for listening. Make it a great day.